You're listening to Greater LA on KCRW. It's the show that takes you to the rites and rituals of Southern California. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Today, for better or worse, we're headed to church.
You people are out of control. Wow, thank you. Are you happy to be at church?
That's Pastor John MacArthur. We're at Grace Community Church in Sun Valley. And yes, those are indoor voices you're hearing. The congregation is happy to be at church today, and that's because they're not supposed to be. Not according to L.A. County, which sued the megachurch for defying the county health order that expressly prohibits big indoor gatherings like this one. And to make matters worse, the church is not enforcing masks or social distancing. This has been going on since late July.
So look at the person next to you and say, I don't know who you are, but I'm so glad I'm sitting next to you.
Now, is the church ignoring overzealous county officials because it answers to a higher power? Or is this more political than prayerful? And why hasn't the government made good on its rules and shut the indoor services down? Today on Greater LA, a visit to the heart of a conflict between church and state, a conflict that has grabbed national headlines and is pushing the courts to define the limits of government power. Reporter Brandon R. Reynolds spends a morning at Grace Community Church considering faith and which institutions you put your faith in.
Everyone seems so happy. Before the service starts, they're standing out here under the morning sky where the sun should be. They're shaking hands and hugging one another in their Sunday best. Their mouths, which you can see, are curling up at the corners. Remember smiling at people? It's a familiar scene from another year, another lifetime. They're chatting while waiting in line for coffee, and way down there at the end, like the promised land, brightly colored donuts, which have cereal on them, Fruit Loops and that other one. You want this. Even if you believe nothing in particular, you want this. Again. You want the world back, but maybe you lack the faith. It's in the faith that this fellowship isn't a vector for disease that has now killed 200,000 Americans. I don't have the faith. That's why I'm one of the few here wearing a mask. It's also why I go and find a seat in the church parking lot, under the big white tent, which is under a big white sky that smells like incinerated forest. The tent is one of the concessions the church made to the county so that people could meet outdoors.
The question is this a nation under God? We know that's what the Founding Fathers intended.
The sermon's projected on a big screen, and Pastor John MacArthur's voice booms softly out of loudspeakers, seemingly coming from everywhere. There are a few hundred people out here, but thousands more are watching him inside. They're either watching him in person in the main worship center, or watching him projected onto screens in the Spanish language chapel in a bunch of large overflow rooms. In this amiable, smiling way, MacArthur is leading the church in open revolt against L.A. County.
The notion of a secular state is a lie. Government is ordained by God.
Even a few months ago, the church wasn't this combative. During the first bloom of the virus, the church more or less officially closed its doors, although a former parishioner told me that unofficially, Grace Church still held events during the week and on weekends, which may explain how it had a few brushes with COVID. In March, they held an annual conference, bringing together church leaders, all men, incidentally, from around the world. Afterward, the church issued a statement that one of the visiting pastors, a man from Washington State, had died of COVID. And in a podcast interview in April, MacArthur talked about another couple of cases.
If we defy this, and if we say we're going to meet anyway, we run the risk of exposing people to this illness needlessly. And why would we want to do that? Because this is a health issue. This is a health crisis. And since, like any church, many of the people in our church are older, We wouldn't want to expose them to that. We've only had, as far as I know, and this was up to yesterday, we've only had one couple in our church in the Spanish ministry who actually got the coronavirus. But that couple, and not an older couple either, wound up in the hospital because it was such a virulent experience for them. So we wouldn't want to say, well, let them come to church and mingle with everybody else and let it be whatever is going to be is going to be. That doesn't make sense. We wouldn't purposely expose our people. That's not caring for your people.
That public stance changed in July after Governor Gavin Newsom responded to rising coronavirus infection rates by restricting indoor public gatherings. After that, the church published a statement titled, "Christ, not Caesar, is the head of the church." The gist was that civic rulers aren't the boss of them. So why the change of heart? The Caesar statement says that church elders had always considered the state orders an unacceptable intrusion. But early on, no one knew the severity of the virus, so the elders opted to close up shop because, quote, "guarding public health against serious contagions is a rightful function of Christians as well as civil government," end quote. And then in July, the church decided that the virus numbers weren't significant enough to keep the doors closed, so that by the time Pastor MacArthur gave his sermon on August 30th, the virus not only wasn't affecting the church, but miraculously, it never had.
We've all been suspicious of the fact that we've been meeting together now for weeks and weeks and weeks. We don't know anyone who's ill. Nobody in our congregation has ever been to the hospital with this.
And in an evening Q&A session after the service I attended, MacArthur offered his read on the virus numbers.
I think there's a lot more going on than the virus, for sure. As I've been saying, California rate of COVID is 1/100 of 1%. It's infinitesimal. We have the lowest death rate in the continental United States of any state from this.
Because of shifting testing rates, numbers are not fun to quibble with. But suffice to say, California does not have the lowest death rate. And L.A. County alone has, at last count, 268,000 cases and more than 6,000 deaths. But yes, there is a lot more going on than the virus. The whole thing's now been infected by politics. I reached out to Pastor MacArthur and church lawyers, but they wouldn't talk to me for this story. When Grace Community officially reopened in July, the county pretty much immediately slapped the church with a cease and desist order. It threatened jail time and fines of up to $1,000 a day. And also the gentle reminder that the church could, after all, continue live streaming and meeting outside. Want to do it outdoors? Go nuts. The church responded by suing the county, pointing out that there's a double standard at work when the county allows protests in the streets. They get their free expression. Why can't we have ours? If all this sounds suspiciously political, just you wait. Grace Church's legal team includes Jenna Ellis. She's a Colorado-based attorney who's also a senior advisor to the Trump campaign. So now, the Grace Community Church legal fight is totally national news. MacArthur said in an interview that he got a call from the president himself.
Not last Sunday, but the Sunday before, he called me after the Sunday morning service, and he was very gracious and said, I just want to thank you for taking a stand. Church is essential, and I'm glad you're doing what you're doing. And then we talked a little bit about why, from certainly a biblical standpoint, Christians could not vote Democratic, because there's no way that a Christian...
Meanwhile, the county filed a lawsuit, which has been kicked around the courts as it creeps toward a ruling on whether the church is or is not in contempt. On and on that goes. In a series of legal filings, county attorneys, who also wouldn't talk for this story, held their own sermons. And I quote, "Defendants' indoor, in-person services are the type of super-spreader events where thousands of people sit shoulder to shoulder, singing and not wearing masks in an indoor setting for an extended period of time that exacerbates community transmission and undermines the county's response to this public health crisis." But the services continue. Look at it one way, and it embodies the preservation of liberty in the face of a tyrannical government. Look at it another way, and that tyrannical government looks really pretty weak. It can issue fines, but only if the court approves it. And LAPD said it's not going over there to arrest anyone anyway. In a memo, the department says, quote, "Los Angeles Police Department personnel shall not," all caps, "take enforcement actions on such matters," end quote. Now, what the county can do, and has, is to terminate the church's lease on a parking lot it rents from the county. As of today, the county has unleashed a plague of no parking on the church, which will almost certainly also plague the residents of the surrounding neighborhood. But how are you going to keep a pastor down when his star is on the rise? In his sermons and interviews on Fox News and with Christian radio, MacArthur's become a bit of a martyr. Here he is on the Laura Ingraham Show.
We received a letter with a threat that we could be fined or I could go to jail for a maximum of 6 months. I don't mind being a little apostolic. If they want to tuck me into jail, I'm open for a jail ministry. I've done a lot of other ministries, so bring it on.
Grace Community Church is a family, but it's also an empire. Under the Grace umbrella is a university, an international seminary, and a radio station. And Pastor MacArthur's been at the helm of all this for 51 years. He's published books on Scripture. Supposedly, he's published 400 books on Scripture. His sermons are translated into 7 languages. So the church has a lot of influence, and the outcome of this case will resonate for businesses, religious institutions, and possibly the law itself. With attorney Jenna Ellis behind him, MacArthur claims that not being able to meet in person is a constitutional infringement. But what does a well-known libertarian constitutional lawyer have to say about that?
The church's argument is not ridiculous, but it's unlikely to prevail.
That's Eugene Volokh, a professor of constitutional law at UCLA.
Normally, of course, the freedom of assembly gives everybody, religious or not, the right to gather for political reasons, religious reasons, to listen to speakers about art or literature or whatever else. But these are not normal times. And in such times, generally speaking, courts have allowed the government to restrict religious services alongside other similar gatherings.
The thought of the state restricting speech and movement is extremely troubling, and it should be. We have some sense of how this case might go down, though. In May, a South Bay Pentecostal church's suit against Governor Newsom reached the Supreme Court. That case was decided, narrowly, against the church. Chief Justice Roberts wrote, quote, "Although California's guidelines place restrictions on places of worship, those restrictions appear consistent with the Free Exercise Clause of the First Amendment," end quote. Other arguments will rise up through the courts, too. In fact, there's a church in Ventura right now waging a similar fight as Grace. Professor Volokh says that this won't be the end of it.
There's no reason to think this is the last such incident. In fact, there's every reason to think that we're going to be seeing more such epidemics in the future.
No matter your spiritual or political persuasion, there are threats. On this Sunday, we sit under a charred sky in the middle of a global pandemic. MacArthur sees existential risks, too. Socialism, abortion, women with women, and men with men. He sees disaster ahead, and his stated solution looks, if not theocratic, at least theocratish.
And we pray that those who are evil leaders will be replaced, and you will graciously give us righteous, just, truthful, worshiping leaders.
So who's in charge here, and who should be? Who sees the farthest and the clearest? And which sacred text should prevail? And do you have faith in any of it? Whatever you believe, it certainly seems like a reckoning is nigh. This is Brandon R. Reynolds for KCRW.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
Moving on now with Greater LA on KCRW. I'm Steve Chiatakis. You know, growing up, my dad used to tell me with this thick Greek accent, "Son, if you're not laughing, you're crying." And man, do we need comedy these days. So how about a nice, long stand-up comedy show? No, not at the Comedy Store, the Laugh Factory, the Improv. No, not at the Upright Citizens Brigade. Actually, you gotta head online for this one. To the simulation game Animal Crossing.
Show. This is not unlike a real show, except I can't physically bounce you. We can't kick you out technologically.
Woo, check out this.
Yes, love you guys. Check out the comedy club that I built here on Little Taiwan Island.
Yes. That's comedian Jenny Yang performing in her live show that's called Comedy Crossing. Jenny created her own version of Los Angeles inside Animal Crossing. And what would L.A. be without its own comedy club? Well, since she started them, Jenny's shows have gained in popularity. About 700 people from across the globe zoomed in to check this one out.
If anyone is saying that they're doing well in this pandemic, all right, you are either lying or a sociopath. or all of the above, or what we call a Jeff Bezos. Okay, this is what we call a Jeff Bezos. So please don't lie.
It's not just for fun. It actually benefits charities of her choice. Well, another Jenny, writer and author Jenny Zhang, caught wind of this and interviewed Jenny Yang recently for Harper's Bazaar. And both of them join me now. Jenny Yang, welcome to you.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And Jenny Zhang, or Jenny Z, thank you for coming on as well.
Hey, I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, so, I mean, the clips that we just heard, Jenny Y, it was from the intro to one of your recent comedy crossings. You've done a bunch of them since, raising a lot of money. I guess $20,000 or more is what I see for Black Lives Matter. Tell me how this came about.
Oh my gosh. You know, like most people in March, I fell into a pandemic depression and I was just grasping for whatever it took for me to, you know, maintain a sense of reality. And one of the things that, you know, would reproduce the kind of socializing I would want to do with friends anyway was this weird little, you know, video game in Nintendo called Animal Crossing. I heard about it. My friends were playing it. You can visit each other's islands and have little like audio parties, you know, as a group. And I thought, wow, like this is the virtual world that I have access to when the rest of the world is completely inaccessible. So I took to it. And honestly, in the first sort of month of the sort of stay-at-home orders, it was a lifesaver because it was a way for me to stay in touch with friends, but also have this sort of cute little world of a cartoon version of me that I could create and just get some reprieve from all the madness.
So the comedy club is in LA inside Animal Crossing. I mean, why do you think it was important to have that club in LA?
Well, you know, if you're not familiar with the video game Animal Crossing, you have a raw little piece of land called a little island, and you get to sort of farm it and buy clothing and furniture, and you get to sort of customize your island to whatever you want. And for me, you know, I was like, man, everyone likes to think of little projects to do for their Animal Crossing islands. And what's better for me as someone who, you know, grew up in Los Angeles, who loves Los Angeles, to just recreate all the places that I miss, you know, about Los Angeles that I can't really visit in person. So, you know, I never actually took photos in front of this, but for some reason, when I couldn't go to LACMA, the light installation in front of LACMA became something that I missed. So I built that on my island. I built a mini Hollywood Bowl. I even attempted a Descanso Gardens light show. So, I mean, listen, it was inevitable that I would also try to recreate a comedy club.
Jenny Z, the header for your Harper's Bazaar piece was, and I'm quoting here, Jenny Yang will not limit herself. When the pandemic drove everyone inside, she recreated the LA that she loved, as you just heard, including a comedy club with live performances to benefit Black Lives Matter in Animal Crossing. And in the process, she began to contemplate what it means to help yourself while helping others. The article that you wrote is chock full of adoration and a lot of praise, a lot of empathy, too. What was it like to interview Jenny Y? I mean, what drew you, aside from the very similar name, what drew you to her?
Right. I only interview people whose last names go alphabetical with mine. Well, I adore Jenny Yang. We're friends and we go way back. And she's just a very special person to me and my life personally. But I think because of the pandemic, because of the Black Lives Matter uprisings, like these are things that are in response to conditions in the world that have existed before this very moment. And the conditions in this world make it so that like certain groups of people are suffering in inordinate amounts that shouldn't be. And I think that there is like this moment right now where we have to like address that and come up with solutions in a very material way. But as we were talking about in the article, Jenny, you've been so good about wanting to create space for like what else can we dream up beyond just having the bare necessities that a human needs to live? Because once we have those things, once we have the ability to go outside without being in physical danger, how do we actually like create a space where we're emotionally stable enough to enjoy the life that we now have the right to live? And so that kind of became the theme of what Jenny and I started talking about in that Harper's Bazaar article.
This is kind of like Tuesdays with Maury. You know, it's Thursday with Thursday with Jenny.
Well, it's always therapeutic when I talk to Jenny privately. So, you know, when there was an opportunity to have a public conversation for the Harper's article, you know, it was just an honor and a great opportunity to have Jenny on board to do it, you know, because if I were to have any other conversation about my work, usually it's like, Jenny, what do you feel about representation of Asian Americans in Hollywood? Jenny, what is it like to be a woman in comedy? Which is important. Mm-hmm. But I think what I really valued about my conversation with Jenny Z is that, you know, we were able to talk about the real stuff that we actually were contemplating during this really tough year, you know?
You're both from immigrant families, though, right? You're both, yes. You both have a lot in common in that respect.
We do, yeah. We both came...
We're sisters.
Yeah, we're sisters, not in
not
blood.
Literally. Don't think we're literally.
Yeah, we're soul sisters. And like Jenny Y, I also grew up as a child of immigrants. And we're both immigrants ourselves. We immigrated when we were children. And I also grew up in this constant state of emergency, because if you're just trying to survive, it's a constant state of emergency. And so when the pandemic happened, I was like, oh, I'm really good at this. Like, this is normal for me. Like,
yes, we know how to do this.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, you mean live off of rice and beans and whatever we have in the pantry? Let's do this.
Yeah. And then there came that point where I think we both were like, I don't want to be good at this. Like, I want to be good at not being like rising into action and being in a state of emergency. And I think that is where self-care comes through.
And, you know, I think the one thing that you've noticed in this country anyway is the rise in racism, right, toward Asians and Asian Americans because of the pandemic, because where it originated. Jenny Z, have you experienced that?
Oh, never. No, I'm kidding. yes.
Oh, who's the comedian now, right?
Yeah. I'm just a wannabe comedian. No, of course. And it happens. It's easy to talk about the ways that it happens in overt ways because it can't be denied. But there are these covert ways that also get internalized. And I think more than in some ways, for me at least, overt racism, which I can talk about in spades, it's more for me this I never felt like my existence here could be taken for granted and my security here could be taken for granted. It was always a conditional thing. And I knew that at any point, my safety and well-being could be revoked.
I mean, look, this virus has been called the China flu, Wuhan virus, Kung flu, by our own president of the United States. And so, you know, it wasn't surprising to me that within the first few days of the pandemic really hitting America in March, I was walking out in my neighborhood in Los Angeles. This was before I think masks were required. This was within literally the first couple days when, you know, the NBA shut down and you're just like, what is happening? And, you know, this, I don't know, white guy in a truck pulled up and while his light was green and slowed down right in front of me, made eye contact very menacingly and flip me off. And he didn't have to say a word, but I knew what that meant because it's the same kind of hatred that I have felt growing up in this country in just different degrees.
Obviously, this is a heavy subject and you know, how we started was about comedy. Jenny Zhang, what makes you laugh in the middle of a very serious pandemic?
I mean, I almost can't answer that question because I feel like for as long as I've been alive, I've been awake and around extreme suffering, and those are the people who have the best senses of humor because nothing's off the table when everything's come at you. And so, I mean, this time is not a riot, but I'm laughing all the time because sometimes, like, that's the only way to not feel fear. And there's humor everywhere. I couldn't even pinpoint it. It's because it's so miserable that I'm laughing all the time. I just have to call Jenny Yang, and then I laugh. That's it. Just call her. If you have her number, give her a call.
Jenny Yang, writer and comic. Her next Comedy Crossing show, by the way, is October 3rd. Jenny Zhang, writer and author of the books Sour Heart and My Baby First Birthday. Jenny Y, Jenny Z, thanks to you both.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. You can grab the podcast, by the way, Take Greater LA on the Go, at kcrw.com/greaterLA. Jenna Cagle, Sonia Geis, Kat Yore, Mario Saavedra, Phil Richards, Ray Guarna, Amy Ta, and Sue Margulies, and, of course, the inimitable Christian Bordahl, all made this show happen today. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for your ears and time. Have a great night.